Reception and members, we welcome you to Cook's Church. We call ourselves that. It's a joy to be with you as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have a few announcements to make before we get started. We met with the insurance company adjuster this past week just to give everybody a quick update. Nothing was determined or decided in that meeting. Of course, it was just an introduction to the process. The guy did take a look at the property and indicate that it looked to be safe for us to go in and out of. But we'll wait for some more kind of clear guidance on that. The process with the insurance company should be done pretty quickly. They're going to make a determination sometime this week, would be our guess, and then we'll move forward from there. It does look like the building is salvageable, so we won't see, I could be wrong, but it doesn't look like, to the insurance adjuster's eyes at least, that it's going to require a complete teardown. But we're still talking a very lengthy period of time to get things back in order again. To that end, we're going to have some greater guidance. The session meets this evening, and so we will have some better guidance on what we're going to do with homecoming, which is, of course, just 2 weeks away. Okay. Any questions about that process as it stands, I guess? Okay. Very good. We kicked off our new Sunday school year this morning, and those classes will start next week, Sunday, September 17th at 9 a.m. for all ages, and we'd love to have all of you join us. If you have any questions about our Sunday school classes, please contact Paige. We had our Rally Day celebration, and there's some extra goodies. So after the service, if you'd like, please head to the entryway of the education building for some donuts and bagels and coffee and juice. So please avail yourself of that. This is an important announcement. Our September community meal will be held this Thursday, September 14th, from 5 to 6:30 p.m. at Hillcrest Baptist Church Family Life Center, which is on the corner of 200 Kent Berry Drive and 8501 Belhaven Boulevard. It's the church across the street from the sports page, and the menu will be spaghetti, salad, and dessert. Please join us there and invite a friend to join you. We're going to collect non-perishable food items for loaves and fishes starting next Sunday, and we'll continue to do that through the 24th of September. Food barrels that your donations can be put in these two Sundays are located in the Narthex and Ed Building entryway. Thank you. The Cook's Cub Scouts will be having a Krispy Kreme donut sale fundraiser in our parking lot next Saturday to September 16th from 8 a.m. till noon or until they sell out. I'll be there. So I might sell out early. You better get up, right? Maybe we can work that out. If you certain bulk purchases may get you a free delivery. But there's the announcement about homecoming. Homecoming Sunday is September 24th. At this point, we think we'll be able to have our lunch. Meat and drinks will be provided, but please plan on bringing side dishes and or desserts is the plan if we move forward, and it looks like we will. Reminder to all our session members that we've got a session meeting this evening tonight at 7 o'clock. We're going to meet in room 113. Again, we can't be in the fellowship hall. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are to the glory of God, and so we thank the donator. Any other announcements before we have our celebration of Christian education? Okay, that being the case, then I'd like to invite Paige to come forward. Such great teachers in our Sunday school, and we celebrate them as well as kids that are finding their way into the third grade. And what a joy that is as they receive their own unique Bible. So we look forward to that. The Word of God is and the Christian belief is so vitally important at times like this. We simply have to know more about our faith than probably ever before. You know, in generations where Christianity was assumed, that we could kind of coast a little bit. But those days are sadly gone, or maybe good. One could say that we're given the opportunity now to bring in a bigger and more bountiful harvest. But at the core of Christian knowledge is the knowledge and awareness of God's Word. And we're so grateful for wonderful expositors and teachers of the Bible that are here at our church and afford us all the opportunity to show up on a Sunday morning and walk away knowing appreciably more about our faith or about the Bible. And so we celebrate the people that taught this past year and the kids that are learning, as well as the people that will be volunteering in the coming years. And so, Paige, we've got a little token of our appreciation for them. What did we decide to do? The Bible first or the present first? Present first, that's right.
So we're going to recognize our teachers for this year. And if Miss Jean McClure, she was a teacher for our adult Sunday school class. We have Reggie King.
Hey, Reg.
Who also taught in adult Sunday school class, Viewpoint. Thank you.
I don't know where he's here.
Teacher for the adult Sunday school class. We have Beth Knowles, who along with myself taught the youth. We have Diane Black. Who is still back there with the little ones. That's doing for us.
There's Reg.
Oh, you're Reg. Okay. We couldn't do this without you, so you're very much appreciated.
Right.
Thank you. Our next thing that we'd like to do, that our church always does every year, is provide a Bible for a rising third grader. And we have one this year. And I'd like to invite Abram Placer to come up. Today. So we have this Bible here for you, and it's actually bookmarked in here. It has your name and a bookmark for you to keep track of where you are in your Bible, okay? So we want you to use this and enjoy it, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. You know, that Bible that we just gave away, I happened to find it very useful as I was teaching a class. And so if you're, a new Bible student, getting a kid's Bible can be a good way to start because it provides rudimentary education. Sometimes you get study Bibles, and they really are wonderful, and we all need one. But they operate at a level that's really elevated, right? Let's call it. And sometimes it's hard. I know, learning Christianity is not as easy as you might think. And so I'm a fan of that particular Bible, and I can remember times of using it successfully. So that being said, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of God.
Good morning. In the midst of struggle and strife, God is with us. Even though many things in life hurt and disappoint us, God is with us.
We see God's mercy and grace to heal our wounded souls.
Come, bring your needs and wants to God, for God will hear your cries and restore your souls.
Praise be to God for mercy, peace, and hope. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come here before you today, drawn to this sacred space by your Holy Spirit, prepared, Heavenly Father, to receive your word. Bless us now with your ongoing, abiding presence, filling our ears with your everlasting music, penetrating our bodies with your invigorating word, and comforting us with your healing spirit. Be for us this day a font of living water, purifying our souls and cleansing us, mind and body. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I invite those of you who are able to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 17. Jesus prepared to depart from his disciples following the resurrection. He said to them, "Peace be with you." And showing them his hand and his side, he was able to be with them. Soon thereafter, he spoke to them, saying again, "Just as the Father sent me, so I send you." So as a celebration of this command, let us now pass the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come now into a time where we unburden ourselves before God and before one another and let go of the sin that dogs us through the week. We do so using our corporate prayer of confession to find general words to speak to the depravity of in our heart, knowing and trusting that God knows fully our errors. But we confess our sins not with the sense of overwhelming shame or disgust, whether we do so expecting to encounter the great and wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We confess because we are a forgiven people and find greater comfort in the world doing this. And so let us join our voices together now, making known the shortcomings of our heart. Join me as we pray, finding the words in this morning's prayer of confession. Merciful Lord, you know that we are stubborn and willful. We believe that we know the right way to do everything and to heal all the troubles of the world. We resort to extraordinary means to provide healing, only to find that we have not placed our trust in your redeeming love. Our efforts fall far short of our goal of reconciliation. Forgive us our stubbornness and arrogance. Heal our wounded souls and restore hope and compassion to our relationships with you and with each other. Lift us up and cause us to serve you by serving others in this world.
Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we're assured a great and glorious truth, that we are indeed reconciled to God the Father through the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We find in him not only our comfort, our joy, but most importantly, our peace. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen.
Now we turn our thoughts and attention toward the declaration of our Christian faith, which we do this morning using the ancient words of the Apostles' Creed. I invite you to join me in that, and the words are found in this morning's bulletin as well.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Please be seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 520.
Yeah.
this point, we'd like to invite all the kids to come forward for a time that's just for them.
Good morning. How is everybody? How's school going? It's going good, I hope. Well, that's good to hear. Today, Pastor Jason's going to be teaching about abundantly blessed. What does the word abundant mean to you? Thank you, a lot. So, if you have a lot of blessings, what do you have a lot of? What are the blessings that the Spirit gives us? Well, in Galatians, we can find out the fruit of the Spirit is... Can you name one of them? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do any of you have a lot of that? Do you have a lot of love? A lot of joy? Sometimes these aren't easy to get, so we have to work on it. We have to pray about it, but the Holy Spirit is the one that will help us. He's inside of us, and He will help us with those blessings. You pray with me? Dear God, thank you for an abundance of blessings. Let us learn what they are and to use them. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a good week.
Be joyful. Even in the midst of trials and of crisis, we can have joy because the joy that we experience comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember reading in the scriptures when Paul was in prison and in chains, he was praising God in hymns. So our hymn actually is a different one that's listed in the bulletin. We are going to be doing that one, that gospel one, on the homecoming Sunday on the 24th in 2 weeks, but today we're doing one called Blessed Be Your Name, which when Jason and I do our prison ministry, this is one of the favorite songs that the men sing, and let me tell you, they raise the roof when we sing this song, so we're going to sing it to you, and if you know it, please sing along with us.
That was great. I hope everybody was able to hear the choir. They sounded magnificent. And then Bryson with the drums, man, that was fantastic. All right. That's a lot of fun. Clayton's right. That's one that always gets the crowd rolling and got my blood stirring. So that's good. You'd have thought that the 7 cups of coffee that I had ahead of time would have done that. But apparently not. It took that song. What a joy it is to be Presbyterian and now to come into a time where we really read and take in the Word of God. We find that God speaks to us inwardly by the power of His Holy Spirit as we draw near to His Word. By that same Spirit's power, we're given strength and joy and the fruit that we'll talk about this morning. And so we rejoice in this time of reading and proclaiming God's Word. But before we begin, let us open with a prayer of illumination. Almighty and eternal God, speak to us now by your Holy Spirit's power and grace. Enable us to hear and receive those words precious and dear to our hearts and to our minds. Enable us further, Father God, by the power of the Holy Spirit to direct our thoughts and minds to serving you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Old Testament reading today is Psalms 9, 1 through 12, 535 in the Pew Bible. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad to exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence, for you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne, giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Your cities you rooted out, and the very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. The Lord is the stronghold for the oppressed and a stronghold in times of trouble. For those who know your name, put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who speak you. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds. For he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Thanks be to God.
We return to Galatians, the 5th chapter, to the same reading that we had last week as we continue this sermon series. I read from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, one of the things that this particular job of pastoring never allows is 2 days to be the exact same. Right? There always seem to be differences, and sometimes some very great ones. I never forget, early in my years as a Presbyterian pastor at the First Presbyterian Church in Mount Holly, I had a day that I was summoned to 2 different places and experienced 2 different worlds, really. The first call came in. One of the matriarchs of the church was in her final days, and I went to go visit. And again, you know, she was just a kind soul that had touched a lot of lives and had a big family that adored her as they rightly should have. And when you went, the place was clean and air-conditioned, and there was a lot of people in the living area that when they were talking about good times and praying as they waited to see their mother or grandmother. But what I remember so very clearly is just the peacefulness of the, even though the woman was dying, there was a calm and a stillness that had to be of God, and it was perfect and beautiful and wonderful. Later that day, though, I was summoned to a different kind of context, a different house. And in this one, there was a young man, a son of some of the members of that church, who was very seriously in the struggles with an opioid addiction. And his house could not have been any more of a contrast than the house that I had been in previously. The guy had a dog and cats and hadn't been cleaning up after them, so their messes were all in the on the floor and around, and there was wrappers and dirty dishes. It was a very depressing place to be, and certainly this young man was struggling. I've got good news on that front. The young man found recovery and found God, and so we thank God. I've run into his parents sometimes at the sports page, and they give me joyous updates, so I want to clarify that right now, that this doesn't have a sad ending. It's a very happy one. But again, what stood out to me was just so the contrast, the difference between the one place that was just calm and peaceful and filled with happiness, even in the midst of struggle and sorrow, and the other place, which was itself a site of struggle and sorrow and depression and sorrow. Paul is going to talk to us and has talked to us in Galatians a lot about contrasting things. He wants the Galatians to understand the starkness of the contrast between what Paul would say is the right understanding of Jesus Christ and what these Galatian Judaizers that we've talked about for a number of weeks now, they believed. Not only was there a stark difference in contrast in what the two believed, and we've talked about that over the last couple of weeks, but there was also a stark contrast in the outcomes. If we'll remember, Paul has talked to us about life and death, about light and darkness, about freedom and slavery, and here the contrast goes even further as we think about those acts of the flesh versus the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And make no mistake about it, this is a theme that is very decidedly Paul. Paul is going to come back to this works of the flesh and works of the Spirit across a number of his letters. This is very important to him and to us as Christians because we have that watch text that keeps us mindful from Jesus Christ saying, "Ye shall know them by their fruits," which is to us an indication that we need to look at people's conduct and behavior as to determine what their beliefs are, as opposed to their words. Words are cheap and anybody can say them. But the intent is for Holy Spirit, for Christians who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in, there is fruit. And what a joy that is. I'll tell you what, I think one of the things that just keeps me as a pastor is just the amazing number of kind and goodly and decent people that you get to meet and interact with. And one of the things that I can say, as I've done a study of great Christians now in the pastorate for coming on 15 years now, is that that this is true. Where you see the Holy Spirit work, you marvel at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And there's good news even in that, because, you know, this list of the works of the flesh that Paul has talked about, well, they're individually bad things, right? And we are at leisure to pick and choose. It's kind of a pick your poison kind of thing. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is actually singular. So whereas all of these other dark things are individual, the fruit of the Holy Spirit comes to us as these nine attributes all in one. So it's an inordinate blessing. God isn't just giving you patience. God is going to give you joy and peace and love and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and all these wonderful things. It isn't the case that you'll be limited to what you're going to receive. I think I read a commentator this week that called it one fruit with nine different flavors, and I think that that's a good way of thinking about it. And we are so grateful when that fruit does appear. The contrast that we see really that begins here in Galatians, that continues in the other works of Paul, is really very manifest. One person will become very self-involved, self-seeking, self-absorbed. And the other, as we'll hear when we come through this list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, will be other-directed. And again, keep that in mind as we go through this kind of litany of fruit, of varieties of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that is an important awareness to keep in our minds. So we come now to the list, and one of the things that's difficult whenever you're doing a list is coming up with an artful way of introducing them, and I don't know that I really got there. So I apologize a little for the ham-handedness of this sermon. But we begin with love, and that makes sense if we're familiar with our Bible. Of course, when we think of love, we turn to that delightful passage in 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter that goes through for us all of the elements and aspects of love. And it concludes with a very clear declaration. Faith of, you know, these three theological virtues, faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. And we can understand that. But again, we come back, this isn't love as the world understands it. You know, love as the world understands it has become almost a thing of self-absorption and self-involvement. And that largely comes from putting the dominant note on what we think love is in the experience and feelings of love. I hope we all have those. They're wonderful and remarkable. But we never should lose sight of the fact that they're the byproduct of love, the feelings that we receive. The actual work of love is exactly that. It's work. So we come into the Bible and we find that love isn't a set of feelings or emotions attached to the experience, but is instead the work of God, right? So here in this fruit of the Holy Spirit, as we get to love, we're reminded that it's an agape love. And we've talked about the different types of love before, but the agape love is the self-negating, self-sacrificing version that is indicative of the love of God. God is self-giving, and we know that, thankfully, very clearly through Jesus Christ, his life and death and resurrection. In fact, we're told that there is no greater love than what Jesus Christ expressed. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And of course, we know that. Jesus Christ did do that and accomplished fully what God had intended for him. And when there's love, this self-directed, other-directed love, there's always going to be other people involved. Love is not a solo or solitary act. You know, it's interesting. Right now, one of the shows in the Marvel Universe is this show called Loki, which focuses on a bad guy, but kind of as an anti-hero makes him the good guy. But what's interesting, and I thought it was so perfect as an example of the way love is conceived in this modern context, is that, and again, without going into too much Marvel silliness, there is a multiverse. So there's multiple yous and across the dimensions, according to, you know, in this fictitious world. And in that, so Loki has many variants, one of whom is a female. He falls in love with her, but her is really him. He's fallen in love with himself, which we all, unfortunately, by our sin, do. But we can't overlook that this love that we talk about is something that is always and singularly directed to other people. So when we have love, when we have that theological blessing that God gives us, we will find ourselves thinking less and less of ourselves and more of other people. And again, the person that I always reflect on this is my Uncle Charles. Now, my Uncle Charles was a World War II veteran who came back to Lenoir, North Carolina, and really didn't travel very far from there. I think if he talked about it, he said that he had done all the traveling that he had needed to do in the war and that he was just as content to be there at home than any other place. But, you know, Uncle Charlie, he was just such a nice man. And every time I'd go over there, there'd be somebody bringing something by or getting something. It was, you know, there's really neat things about living in the country that you miss. But he just had a quiet way about him, a way of being kind. He had made it through the Depression, and it affected him in his kindness. Anyway, fast forward, he passed away. And, as of course, you know, that's standard duty of a relative. You go to the funeral. Well, this Baptist church that he went to, now he was 94 when he passed, was literally packed with people. And again, 94-year-olds, as you get older, your friends pass away, unfortunately, and you're not as able to do as much, and so you see smaller crowds at the funerals. It's just a natural byproduct of outliving your friends. But this was not the case on my Uncle Charles's. It was packed. I found out so much about him that day as people remembered his loving actions. And one of the things that always kind of got me, because if you know, I don't wake up in necessarily the best mood, and it's going to take 7 cups of coffee to get me there. But what I remember about Uncle Charles the most was how these people could remember, these older folks could remember, that Uncle Charles lived right across 321. And in Sundays during the winter up in the foothills, he would walk across the road in the pitch black to fire the oven or the furnace, right? That was his job. And people could remember coming to the church and it being warm, right, where their house maybe weren't. He had an effect, and it was a profound one. Now, again, I've seen this same dynamic played out multiple times working for churches. These folks that find love easy to extend are just blessed by people that surround them at all times. And so it is a blessing and a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The next is, of course, joy. And joy is such an important one to capture the glint on, because there is a big difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is always context-based. I am happy when I'm listening to the Grateful Dead, right? Believe it or not. I'm very happy. My kids come in and disrupt that. Not so happy, right? But joy is something more permanent, deeper, much more profound. It's not removable based on your context. And the reason is, of course, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not yours to manipulate or to manufacture, that it is, in fact, God's present gift into your life and into your heart. Joy also contains the feeling of the thrill that comes at the very first part of a journey, which is, I think, important for us to remember, that joy isn't just a self-centered experience of happiness. It is instead a direction and an orientation and a movement towards something greater, which is, of course, God. Patience, I think, is something, if you're not struggling with, I want to know your secrets. In fact, recently, within the last couple of years, they noted, Psychology Today noted, that we are becoming a far less, not that probably we ever were terribly patient, but we're becoming even less patient. I mean, you think back to the Lincoln-Douglas debates, was that? Yeah. And those were 8 hours of guys talking, and people would line up for days to get in to hear this. Nowadays, the data shows that we get irritated if a web page doesn't load in half a second, right? Lining up to listen to 8 hours of two guys speaking, or getting irritated at a half second worth of delay. You can see that perhaps patience is something that we all could use. And again, one of the things that these fruit of the Holy Spirit all attach to Jesus in some way. And this word patience means long suffering. And of course, we think not only of Jesus' suffering on the cross, but his suffering in human life that he encountered for us and for our salvation. And we're reminded that God in Christ is patient, and one of the blessings of the Holy Spirit is to deliver that strength to us. And it is a strength. Operating impatiently is actually a sign of weakness. It's a weakness of position as opposed to a strong one. Then there's peace. And again, I always think of that staircase at St. John's Episcopal Church that had the no Jesus, N-O, Jesus, no peace, N-O, and then no Jesus, no peace, which was K-N-O-W. And I'm reminded that you know, Christians really do have a blessing in this peacefulness that Jesus Christ gave us. Now, I don't know about you guys. I was younger and I enjoyed the nightlife. I think that was a lot of fun. And I, honestly, this is one of those things that I just don't think, I don't think I can go back. Because the thought now of being in a nightclub at 1:30 in the morning listening to music seems, I got to be honest, like hell, right? In fact, I've often thought that my hell will be like one long, never-ending dance party, right? And how bad that would be, the music blaring. But I think it's changed significantly now. I think what I covet, what you covet, is peacefulness, the sense that things are okay. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit contribute to that by reminding us of the love of God. There's also kindness. Kindness is one of the most important things across cultures, as it would turn out. In about 2020, somebody did a survey of 37 different cultures, and they only asked the women this question, but they wanted to know what attribute or trait did they find most attractive in a man. And surprisingly, I think, across all the cultures of the world, the number one answer to that question was kindness. That is the most important thing across cultures that people are looking for. And this kindness sometimes eludes us as Christians, if we're honest about it. We need to be mindful that our actions in the world make an impression on people. You know, when I went back to college to go to seminary, I was fortunate enough to get a job at the Starbucks. And that was great because you'd go in at 4:30 in the morning and you'd be done by 1 and you could go and take classes. But everybody, universally, you know what the shift that they didn't want to do was? Sunday morning. Because you found out that all the Christians that were in a rush to get to whatever churches they were heading to had to stop by the Starbucks on a tight time schedule. And things went sideways quite a bit. I say that because I've been that customer and consumer before. So let me just say I'm not above it. But it is so important to us as we think of this attribute, this fruit of the Holy Spirit, kindness, that we exemplify it. Because the number one reason people don't come to churches is because of their experience with other church members, believe it or not. That's the cited reason. So we've got to be mindful of our kindness. And so, too, do we need to look at gentleness and self-control as these blessings. Gentleness is a word that gets translated meek a lot, and I get it. I remember one time teaching a Sunday school class, and of all the things of the Beatitudes that caused problems, the meek shall inherit the earth was one that really did, because we sense that meek is some, you know, milquetoast, kind of easy to push around person. It's far from the truth, biblically speaking. Gentleness is a word that actually means strength under control. So when we think about this word, it isn't the case that we're pushovers or wimps. It is instead that we have the strength that God gives us under the control. And that's, of course, the last fruit of the Holy Spirit was that self-control. Now, again, I'm still struggling with this one. There's these things in the world called pumpkin spice donuts. And they present a real and ongoing vexation for me. Every time I go to the food line, I seem to get a box of these things. I don't know. The kids have figured it out, so now they go and look. Self-control is exactly what it sounds like. It is the ability to say no when no is the obvious and correct answer. And that is itself a gift of the Holy Spirit. It isn't anything but that. I'm reminded of something that happened in Cleveland in 1986, as I conclude. As we look at the works of the flesh versus the works of the Holy Spirit, or the fruit of the Holy Spirit, rather. In 1986, Cleveland had the idea to rebrand their town. They were tired of being called the Mistake on the Lake and all these funny things. You know, nobody wants to go to Cleveland. It's the armpit of America and things like that. So they decided that what they needed was a rebranding. And so what they did was they decided that they were going to best Disney at releasing helium balloons. Right? That seems like a great idea. So these people, they arranged for 1.5 million helium balloons. They had to build a net that was the size of multiple football fields in order to hold them all in. Well, the day of the event, there was some inclement weather that was coming through, and so they decided to release them early, which would prove to be a real bad mistake. You see, the balloons, instead of flying off into the atmosphere, a cold front pushed them down onto the lake where it capsized a boat, sadly, as well as into oncoming traffic. They had to close the airport down for multiple hours because there were so many of these balloons all over the place. You know, the decision to send starts out as a pretty easy one. We're not really thinking. We think, oh, that'd be fun. But I want us to realize that the outcomes that Paul talks about in Galatians are going to happen. There are, you're going to see that big thing of balloons and you're thinking, wow, this is going to be spectacular. And then life happens and it's far from it. But the guarantee that the fruit of the Holy Spirit will be with you is the promise of God to deliver into your life an abundance of good and wonderful things. And it comes as we follow Jesus Christ, separated from the belief that we're earning our salvation and instead resting securely in being justified by grace through faith. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't normally end that way. It seemed right. So now we come into a time of prayer. I just heard from a member that Angela Sherrill is not doing well, so we'll definitely want to keep her in our prayers this morning. So let us turn now to the Lord our God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and for this opportunity to be strengthened by your word. Oh Lord, to come together and to experience the blessings of the fellowship of your Holy Spirit. Be with us, Father God, as we now pray to you, O Lord, reminding us that prayer is the greatest part of our worship, for its work that we do, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to speak into existence God's love and blessings. And so, Heavenly Father, we take this work. We know that you are listening and that you do indeed respond. And so we joyfully bring you the concerns that weigh upon our heart. And Heavenly Father, as we continue to pray, we just think of all of the people who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious. And we pray to you, Father God, asking that you would provide each according to their need. Gracious God, we think specifically today of all the people that are struggling with COVID. And we think of Vera Smith as well as others, the whole Smith family, really. We pray for we continue our prayers for the Thompson and Jones families as they continue to mourn. We pray for Sarah Yarborough and FD and Pat Hager. We pray for Sarah Justice and Tom McClure. We pray for Jill Griffin and Dennis Abernathy and Richard and Nancy Smith and Angela Sherrill and all the many others that are in need of our intercessory prayer. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting to turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you. us pray. Father God, we just give you such great thanks for the myriad blessings that you deliver to us of material things as well as spiritual things. Gracious God, as we bring a portion of those material blessings back to you, we just pray that you would use it to promote your light, your love, your peace, and the fruit of your Holy Spirit wherever it may be found. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I forgot faithfulness, and I'll just give you the bullet points on this very quickly. Faithfulness is exactly as it sounds, the ability to be true to one's word and teachability before God. And so we also receive that from our God. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them and baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Spend your week joyfully promoting the Lord and finding your day filled with God's fruit. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
Thank you.